Go to everydaynovelist.com/support to join the madness.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of nearly 30 books, more than 30 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, coming to you from up in the crow's nest with my spyglass on this daily voyage through the dicey waters of business, craft, learning, and art in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions, episode 764.
Today, J.R. asks,
how do you know when it is time to start your own author group for your fans? And where do you recommend setting them up? Discord? Facebook?
Well, as soon as possible. This is actually something I avoided doing early on because I didn't want to deal with the trouble related to community maintenance when I was already doing so much work on the podcast. And for a while, the podcast did kind of become a contact point for users, but this was a mistake on my part. One of the things I did wrong early in my career that I'm now, far too slowly, moving to correct, is I did not focus on luring my audience to a place where they could meet each other and form a community around my work. That means that when I went inactive because life blew up, I lost the momentum that was maintained through the podcasting and the regular releases. Had I had a community forum group, had I had a reader community, that would not have been as big a problem. So I'm moving to rectify this now. The best place to do this is on your website, because then you own it. This is really, really important. Whether you're doing your community on Minds, which is a great place for it, on Facebook, which is not a great place for it, but it is where everybody's at, or on Discord, or wherever. If it's not on your server, you don't own that community. You're merely camping on someone else's lawn. And when their business model changes, or when the next moral panic sweeps through, you are in danger of losing your community. So creating communities on other people's lawns, especially because that's where the users are, is not a bad idea. But figuring out how to funnel them back to your own native territory, whether it's your mailing list or a forum on your website or both, bringing them to something you control, so that you can be sure that your community will always have a place to be should the social media marketplace change, is very, very smart. Now, it's not just if their business model changes or if there's a moral panic and military science fiction authors get shut down because they're fascists. This is an argument that is building steam right now in certain cultural circles. So, you know, you write military science fiction, that's a consideration. But those aren't actually the only two dangers. The third danger, which is actually a good thing, the third danger is that monopolies, even in digital space, can't last forever. And the antipathy against places like Facebook is reaching such a fevered pitch that the moment someone opens another network that is viable in enough good use cases, you will see people siphoning off. There's already little networks springing up. There will eventually be a new big one, or maybe a few mid-sized ones that cater to sort of different interest groups. Rather, the way that the dating marketplace has shattered and diversified, it was once monolithic with basically just OkCupid and, what was the other one, Match.com. They had the whole market. Now they've got a teeny sliver of the market, because of other specialized services that have come in to start serving those interest groups. It is a very real possibility that that will happen with social media. So you may find yourself in a position of needing to maintain several satellite user group installations, and at that point it really is in your interest to funnel them back to a central connection point, because otherwise you're going to spend a lot of time maintaining those groups. So I don't know that it matters where you set them up. Getting the group set up and getting that community going should be a high priority. The secondary priority is to capture what you create. How you do that? Well, other than what I've just said, I'm still working on that for myself. I'm actually still working on the creating the communities part, because, I mean, really the reason I didn't do it was I had one of the popular bulletin boards for 5 or 10 years, and then the community declined, and I was just over that kind of thing. I didn't want to have to do that anymore. I thought podcasting would be a lot more fun, and that was a failure of vision on my part, because, frankly, at the time, I didn't quite ever expect podcasting to be viable business-wise. I was just relieved to be able to play with audio. I have a deep and abiding love for radio theater and audio drama and all things audio. So I wasn't really thinking very strategically. Panned out for me well in a lot of ways, but I also squandered a lot of opportunities that I'm now faced with having to recreate because it's important for my career. So, for what it's worth, hopefully my experience and my mistakes will benefit you. Thank you for sending it in, and I'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty Nakian, and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.
Join the conversation. Submit a question, leave a comment, or a creative death threat. Or find me at jdsawyeronminds.com or hit me at feedback@jdsawyer.net. We can't do it without you.